So we'll read from Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. It's the same account, the one that Nathan read, but just from a different gospel. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and Jesus in the way, and followed Jesus in the way. So we've got that cry from Bartimaeus here. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." I wonder, what does that phrase mean to you? What does it mean to you when you say that? "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Is that something that you have said? Is it something that you have already done in your life? Or is it something that maybe pricks a point in your heart where you haven't actually said that yet? And what about the response from Jesus later on in the chapter? "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Is that something that has been said to you as well? Thy faith, Jesus can recognize, or God and Jesus recognizes thy faith, your faith. This is one of the standout interactions from a personal point of view in the Bible here. And it's at a time when Jesus was speaking to a lot of different people. It just struck me actually when Nathan was reading it earlier that on that, just the one page, obviously I know that everyone has different points in their Bible, but on that page in the Bible, Jesus, just the two pages that I've got open, he spoke to the children in Luke 18, he spoke to the ruler, in chapter 18 as well, spoke to the disciples, spoke to the blind man, and then after that he spoke to Zacchaeus. And so this is at a time when Jesus was going around, he was speaking to a lot of people, but this one for me is one that I remember was spoken about on when we were at camp one year, and it's something that stuck out to me today. And if you look at the Bible as well, you can see that I've got one where it shines out in red when Jesus is speaking, but Jesus was speaking to a lot of people. And so we've got some good truths here that Jesus has said and that we can learn from. But the message that here is all about recognition. If we look at what Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me." It's who he's speaking to. He recognizes who he's speaking to. He says, "Jesus, our son of David." He knows who it is that he's talking to at this time. And he knows what it is that he needs. He says, "Have mercy." That's what he needs at this time. And he knows why he needs it on me. It's all about him. It's about what he hasn't got that he needs. So there's the three things here that he recognizes, the who, the what, and the why. And this is a wonderful sign for anyone that doesn't know the gospel today, doesn't know the message of salvation from Jesus, is that we need to know who we're speaking to. We need to know that we're speaking to Jesus. We need to know what we need. Again, in this sense, it's similar here. We have need to have mercy, and the why. It is who we are today. It's built in, as Nathan said earlier, that it was because of one man, because of Adam, that sin is built into us. But that doesn't change anything. We can't pass the blame. It's still about ourselves. And so what I'd like to do then, just look at this story that Jesus tells, a real story here, or sorry, that Mark tells, starting in verse 46, go through it and see how it can relate. See how it can relate to Bartimaeus, who knew what he had wrong with him, his blindness. And link that to ourselves. Know what we have wrong with us. If we don't know Jesus as our Saviour, the sin that lies within us, that is the problem that we have today. And so in verse 46, if we look at that, and it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. And this for me is a picture. It shows that Jesus, we can't go to Jesus. There was no way that Bartimaeus could have gone to Jesus. He couldn't see. He couldn't find his way around as easily. And so Jesus came to him. And that's a real picture. That's something that a lot of people, even people who would call themselves Christians, they think that they had something to do with it. But it's not that at all. It's the fact that Jesus came to us, and that's the first great truth of salvation that we have. I wonder if you're a Christian today, do you appreciate your salvation enough? Do you think about it? Do you realize that from the very beginning of time, it was planned out that we were to be Christians, fully give God the glory? As that hymn says, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. And all the glory needs to go to Christ for that. Then says it later in verse 46 that Bartimaeus was sat by the highway side begging. We have a conversation at work. Is money the way to happiness? I've had a lot of conversations at work actually recently, some which haven't gone as I'd like. But I wonder, this is something that they've discussed a lot. Does money make happiness? And obviously we know that it doesn't, but there are some people who really do think that it does. What was it that Bartimaeus had to live for? He wasn't worried about the riches of this world. Yes, he was asking for his sight later on, as we see. Won't rush that yet. But he didn't have he knew the riches of salvation, and that is what we have here. He was begging. But that's a picture as well of us before salvation, that we are just like beggars. We don't have the riches. We don't know the riches of salvation if you don't know Jesus as your saviour. And in verse 47, he began to cry out and say, so when he heard it was Jesus, he was particularly passionate about this, particularly desperate. It wasn't just shouting out. It wasn't just a half-hearted cry. It was a real cry. Later on, we see that he continued to do it. He was desperate. And I wonder why that was. If he couldn't move around, he wouldn't have had as many chances to speak to the Saviour. And he knew that this was Jesus, Son of David, as we've looked at. And so maybe this was his one opportunity that he would have had to speak to the Saviour. What if today is your last opportunity? If you don't know Jesus today as your Saviour, what if this is your last opportunity now? You won't get another chance to seek God. And this, as I say, it could be Bartimaeus' last opportunity he has. But I just wondered about that. What if this is your last chance today? When I was away, we had some meeting. I don't think it was anything that was said, but I just had this real conviction. Do I despise sin enough? Do I hate sin enough? And you can see here that Bartimaeus is desperate. And although it's talking about his blindness, if we're relating that to the sin, do we have a desperate hatred of sin that we don't want to do it, that when other people do it, that we don't like it? And that's something that really struck me as well. And then if we move on to verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. I was trying to think about this. I wonder whether those people that were saying this, who they were. I mean, you wouldn't have expected would be friends, but whether they actually knew Jesus themselves. And I don't think they did, because it's nothing that I know for sure. But maybe they thought, why were they trying to call out or stop him from calling out? Maybe it's because they thought that Jesus would think badly of their city if he drew attention to them. Obviously, there was beggars by the side of the street. This wasn't what they may have thought Jesus would have wanted to remember about their city. Maybe it was because they thought that they would hold up Jesus. Maybe they knew that Jesus was going somewhere and that Jesus had something else to do. All this blind beggar would do would just hold up Jesus on the way that he goes. But I don't think, if they did, then they clearly forgot what Jesus says. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Jesus takes an interest in just in anyone. I remember I listened to a sermon by Dr. Ian Paisley, and he said that there was a time when when he first became a minister that his church was really struggling. And he had a prayer meeting after with some of the elders, and he went into each seat and he prayed that seat might be full. And he also said that he prayed for the very worst sinner in the village to come to his church. And he prayed it over and over again. And then there was, he said, who's the worst person in this? And they pointed him towards someone. And I believe that person then came. And that story that he said at that time, I listened to that a couple of months ago, but that struck me. But it links here, the worst sinner. We obviously think that we're the worst sinner. And Paul says that he is the chief of sinners. But that's not what Jesus is interested in. Jesus knows what he's doing, and he knew what Bartimaeus was going to be, and we see what Bartimaeus' reaction was going to be later on as well. And then he cried that great deal, so these people are trying to get him to stop crying out, but he cried the more great deal. I wonder how hostile that was. I wonder how much they were trying to stop him from shouting. Obviously, if Jesus coming through, it was a big thing. And maybe they really were determined to stop him from talking, but he wasn't ashamed of it. We sung that hymn earlier on, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. And that's really why I wanted to sing that one today. Jesus wasn't ashamed of him either, and he wasn't ashamed of Jesus. And it was a two-way thing. They were both, there was a desire from both to speak to each other. Jesus wanted to speak to Bartimaeus, and Bartimaeus wanted to speak to Jesus as well. And it shows the relationship between ourselves as the Christians. If you are a Christian today and Jesus, it's a two-way thing, a two-way love. We love Jesus for what he's done for us. Jesus loves us as well because it says in the Bible that he loves us. We have an appreciation for what he's done. And obviously, Jesus says to us, go and be a light in the world. I don't know if you can see the link there that I'm making, but an appreciation for what we can do. If we go with prayer and thinking about it and trying to do the things that God wants. And then in verse 29, Jesus stood still. And this is really the reason why I'm focusing on this one rather than in Luke. It only says in Mark that Jesus stood still. In the other ones, it says that he stood. I wonder what that means. I wonder if you've spoken to someone in the streets and they've sort of been edging to get away. I remember one time I was going jogging with someone and they saw someone that they knew and they were just too into it. They couldn't stop, but they couldn't have a chance. They couldn't give the time. And in that situation, it wasn't a problem. But this isn't what Jesus wanted to do today or in this story here. Jesus had time for Bartimaeus. Very similarly to the story just a little bit before, where in Mark 5, where actually we could turn to that as well. Mark 5, where the woman touches the hem of his garment. Probably the biggest example of where Jesus had time for someone. Of course, Jesus was later on, it says earlier on that Jesus was going on to see Jairus' daughter, who was very ill at the time. And Jesus obviously knew that Jairus' daughter was going to die. This wasn't a mistake by Jesus. When in verse 27, she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And so this is an example here then where Jesus later on, he doesn't just say, in verse 34, he says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus could have said that straight away. He had the power to say that straight away. He had the power to know that's why the lady was speaking to him. But actually, what did he do? He turned around and he said, who touched my clothes? The disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And there's a conversation here that Jesus has, but he has time for this lady. Even though the urgency of the daughter of Jairus being very unwell, he had time for the lady here. As I said, Jesus knew that he was going to, that the daughter was going to die. But yet again here, here's Jesus, where yes, he was off to go into Jerusalem later on in the next chapter. But in this chapter here, Jesus has time for Bartimaeus, just the beggar by the wayside. In verse 49, Jesus was still and commanded him to be called. Now, I've always thought that Jesus was just walking by and this beggar just called out. But it doesn't seem like that. If he had to be called from somewhere, then Jesus was obviously quite far away from him, but he still heard him anyway. And that, not particularly a point I want to make from that, but it's just, I like to picture the stories as I'm reading them as well. And that's something I didn't really know before today, well, before when I prepared it, that Jesus was not just right beside him, but he had to be called over. And so what's the reaction that Bartimaeus has here? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came unto Jesus. That's in verse 50. And from what I can see, there is a lot of examples in the Bible where clothes mean a lot. For example, you've got Mordecai who rent his clothes. You've got Joseph's coat, which showed the importance of Joseph as well. But in this, all I can see from what it means, casting away his garments, he did it in a hurry. He had an urgency to speak to Jesus. And we see the whole way through, as I said before, that this is a desperation, a desperate plea to Jesus. This person, Bartimaeus, he was desperate to speak to Jesus. And Leonard Ravenhill said, no man is greater than his prayer life. I wonder how desperate, how eager, how urgent we are to speak to God. I wonder if that's the first thing that comes to our mind when there's something wrong. I wonder if it's the first thing that comes to our mind when something's happened that we've prayed about before and we're thankful for it. And that's something that is important. It's something that, touched me when I was speaking to when I was looking into this as well, and an urgency that Bartimaeus had. He knew that Jesus was the one that he could speak to about this, and that he was the one that could fix it. He knew the power of Jesus. And then in verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Jesus asked a question. He asked a question a lot in the Bible, rather than just speaking. Been doing some interviews at work the last few months, and I find interviews really hard, because when you're asking questions, to make it into a conversation. But Jesus did that here. He asked a question. He asked a question also to the woman earlier, actually, just thinking about it now. He asked a question to her, who touched my garment? Jesus asked a lot of questions in the Bible that were challenging to people. That was obviously very challenging to the woman. She didn't want to say. She was ashamed at the time. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 13, he was asking his disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" Is that one that you've asked yourself today? Whom say ye that Jesus is? Do you know who Jesus is today? What about in Matthew 8, verse 26? Disciples in the storm on the boat, "Why are ye fearful?" Is that something that you've asked yourself? If things go wrong, why are you fearful? You know the power of God. That's another question, a challenging question that Jesus asks. What about Peter walking on the water? Matthew 14, verse 31. "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" A very similar one, but why did you doubt yourself? Jesus has given you the power to walk on water, and as soon as you doubted yourself, that's when it stopped. And what about John chapter 21, verse 16? Jesus asking Simon Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Is that a question that you've asked yourself today? Do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus for your own Saviour? And then we can compare... and then if we look at verse 52, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately he received his sight. It's amazing when God gives an answer straight away. It's very easy to put it down to God when the answer happens straight away. I think last Sunday, if I'm right in saying, we had the prayer meeting. We asked for help for the two young people that we've been thinking about. And pretty much that evening, there was a message, and it just started off something like, I can't remember exactly, but good news. And it was an immediate answer to prayer that we'd had. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and it's also very difficult then to give, to recognize that is God at work. But that's something here. Jesus answered his request immediately. And I wonder what he used his sight for. I wonder why it was important for Jesus to answer this prayer as a yes rather than a no or a wait. The thing that brought this passage to my mind was when I saw a video that was on social media. It was a Filipino man. He had an operation, he could see, and it was 20 years he'd been blind, and he was very emotional. And he went straight up to the doctor and the nurses after, and he shook the hand and he said, "Remember, God created us in his image." And that was his first thought as soon as he opened his eyes. And I don't know where he's from. I don't know what type of religion he followed. But that's what brought it to my mind here. And I can imagine that that's the first thing that Bartimaeus realized. We don't know how long he was blind, whether he was blind from a young age or from birth. But I'm sure that the first thing that he saw was God's creation. And obviously the first thing he saw was Jesus as well. But it says the heavens declare the glory of God. And that's something that we can remember as well. When we look out, see the creation, it declares the glory of God. Also, the result of his sight as well, how he could follow. It says later on, he followed Jesus in the way. This is a response to the goodness of Jesus. The word follow is used to describe the response to meeting Jesus in a lot. If you think of the disciples, when they were told to follow me, what that meant to them. They had to follow Jesus, and so follow me comes up quite a lot, especially in the Gospels. And I looked up the definition of follow. There's a few different definitions that come up, and each one actually is very relevant to what we are to do. Follow can mean go or come after a person or thing proceeding ahead. And this shows the example that Jesus leads in life. Jesus says in John 5, verse 17, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Jesus came down to do the work that God had given him, and there Jesus has done it, and now this is our chance. As I said before, and as we looked at when I spoke before, it says, "Let your light so shine before men." And so that's an example of follow. But also, follow could be follow and act according to an instruction or a precept. God gave us the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus gave us some other instructions after as well. If you think of the one that we're going to be looking at next week, do in remembrance of me. And so we have these things to follow as well. Follow the example there. And follow can also mean pay close attention to. We should pay close attention to Jesus. That's why we have gospel services, where we can look at Jesus and the sacrifice on the cross. It's why we have the Lord's Supper as well, to pay close attention to that. And we can look at how Jesus has lived his life as well, things that he's gone through. He showed us in throughout the Gospels how we can pray. He showed us how to preach. He showed us how to respond to those tormenting him as well. And so he's given us an example there. And then we can do, as he says here, Bartimaeus, follow Jesus in the way. But there's two parts that we haven't looked at yet, and that's the two that I highlighted earlier. So in verse 47, Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me. And then also in later on 52, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. We looked at these points earlier. The who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the Son of God. What he needs? He needs mercy. And why? Why he needs it? Because it's on him. It's about him. And that is the reason why he needs it. And so I ask again, do you know Jesus as your saviour? The person that Bartimaeus pleaded to for mercy, the person who stood still and listened to Bartimaeus and just waited and listened to the beggar in the city. And do you recognise what you need today? The mercy from hell as a result of the wickedness of mankind, again, as Nathan said earlier in the children's talk. In the same way that the Israelites, they covered the doorposts with blood to save the firstborn. And it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There was a, when we were in Northern Ireland, there was a deputation meeting, and the one about Uganda, and they mentioned about this one man called Godfrey. And he was a person who had gone to church when he was younger, and this was many years ago. And when one of the pastors, I think it was over there in Uganda and doing the trip as they do every now and then, he saw this man saw the pastor and he recognized him, and he said, I know you, I know where you're from, you're from the church. And he had a bottle of alcohol in his hand, and obviously his life had not gone as many would have hoped from what he'd known, but he knew exactly what he needed. He asked for a Bible, and so they were able to provide one for him. And it was just another example, really, of where someone recognised what they need. But is that something that you've done today? Do you recognise what you need if you're not a Christian today? And do you recognise why we need it? There's no way to save yourself. It's solely through Jesus, through what Jesus has done when he's on earth. No amount of good works can save us. No knocking on doors and speaking to people. No confessing to priests. No amount of bloodshed from people that you of other religions will earn the mercy. The Bible says that it's a gift. We read that in, only when Nathan was reading earlier from Psalm 33, it says about grace is a gift. And this is a gift that we have. And Jesus' response, if we look at that just finally, in verse 52, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Where did that faith come from? I don't know, it doesn't specifically say whether Bartimaeus was a Christian before or not. Initially, I had always been under the assumption that it wasn't the case, that he wasn't a Christian. But actually, having looked into this further, I think it was, because that was his faith. His faith knew that Jesus had that power. But I don't know that we know for sure. Maybe I'm wrong. But faith in Tozer, he says, faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. It's the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. It's someone that knows what they need, and it knows who can provide that. The gaze, as we said, of a soul upon a saving God. And Hebrews quotes that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, this is more real than ever for someone that is blind. They cannot see. But he had faith in it. I wonder where he knew it from. Had he heard the stories of Jesus healing people in the past, and that's where the faith came from? Was it through conversation that he's had while he was just sitting by the wayside, couldn't go anywhere? He had to have these conversations. We don't know. But he had this faith, and that was the thing which had made him whole in the end, or what he had done that made him whole. Obviously, it was Jesus that had done it, and eventually. But Jesus has said that his faith had made him whole, or complete, as you could say. And John Gill says, the whole will of God, as that he should be incarnate, be exposed to shame and reproach and suffer much and die. The whole work his Father gave him to do was to preach the gospel, work miracles and obtain eternal salvation for his people, all which were now done. And that's what he says about on the cross when it's finished. Are you made whole? Are you washed through the blood of the Lamb? When we were in Lisbon, we saw above it, Lisbon's in Northern Ireland, in the church there, it had behind it, while we were listening to the preaching, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And that's a verse from Isaiah. Is that something that you know today? Has your faith made you whole? And so this story of Bartimaeus can be a very challenging one for us today. It can ask us a lot of questions.